You're listening to the sermon podcast from St. Albans Episcopal Church in Waco, Texas. Find us online at stalbanswaco.org to learn more.
Let us pray. Almighty God, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. In 1914, the ship Endurance set out under Sir Ernest Shackleton with 28 sailors attempting to make the first transantarctic land crossing. These folks were prepared for bitter, bitter cold. They had sleds, they had dogs, they had food for months and much else with them. This is incidentally how I feel when I need to take my dog out when it snows in Central Texas. If you know this story, though, if you know about these folks that went so far and had to get back, you know what a failure this expedition was. You know that Shackleton and his crew did not reach any of the goals that they set out to make. They did not even make it to Antarctica. A ship became stuck in pack ice in the Weddell Sea and was trapped, and eventually this ship was crushed. They started a 2-year journey home, these 28 men. And as the Endurance was smashed in the ice, and in the space of just a few very short hours, their life had been reduced from a very highly complex existence with 1,000 petty problems to one of the barest simplicity of which only one very real task remained, making it home. One author says about this expedition that their plight was naked and terrifying in its simplicity. If they were to get out, they had to get out themselves. They had to get out themselves. This universal feeling, they had to get out themselves, we have to get out ourselves, I have to get out myself. You know this feeling. You likely know this feeling. You heard about it too, and we hear about it, not just on Palm Sunday and the Passion from the Gospel of Matthew, but the Passion from the Gospel of John here as well. The story that we see, the story of the cross, the story of being utterly left behind, forgotten, not considered, pushed away, rejected, abandoned, turned out, left alone. For you, piled full of debt, stuck in a town, stuck in a job, stuck in a relationship where you're drowning, wondering if anyone would remember you if you were gone the next day. If you feel like the only way through those depths are the ways that you have gone, we know that on this Friday that we call good, Christ goes to those depths as well. And we do call this day good. We call it good because on the cross is salvation. And it means that we are saved, this cross that our Savior goes to. The writer of Hebrews told us that God is faithful to the promises that God makes to humanity through that cross, that our hearts are made clean and we are washed with water and we come close to God when it is really God who comes close to us through the cross. All of Holy Week takes us through what is, I would say, close to the entire range of human emotions. Questions like this are asked. Have you ever wanted to be clean? Have you ever been overwhelmed with the guilt of letting someone down? Or being let down? Have you been weighed down with sorrow at the loss of someone you love? Have you been gutted when you have been betrayed by someone you thought was a friend? Have you had to move to a new place so you can start over only to find that the problems you thought you were leaving meet you right when you are unpacking your boxes? Have you spent that final night with someone knowing that you would not see them again? Have you ever been alone? This story spills out onto all of us this week. It touches the parts of our lives that we shy away from, that we only want to talk to someone about, and that's usually a person that we pay for therapy. On Good Friday, the frame is tightening. We are getting and we are at the foot of the cross. The screws are set. The story can only end one way. And it looks like it's ending right here at the death of Jesus. The tightening frames, the edges getting darker, focusing in on one thing and one thing only, the cross. we started in Isaiah. We started with, what has this man, this Christ, done? Wounded, crushed, laid low, deserted, cut off from the land of the living, put in a tomb to die. And why? Why would God do this? Verse 11 of Isaiah says, "The righteous one, my servant, shall make many righteous, and he shall bear their iniquities, bearing what we cannot bear. The weight of the world, the weight of all the baggage, all of the things, all of the crud, and I would say a stronger word, that we carry into this church and put at the altar. Bearing what we cannot bear, going and seeing and meeting us where we are and picking it up." And we heard from Hebrews, and we heard from John. Who is this man? Who is this man, this God, who gives us confidence to enter the sanctuary, meaning to come close to God, by his new and life-giving way? This great high priest who says to Pilate, "For this I was born, and for this I came into the world, to testify to the truth. Everyone who belongs to the truth listens to my voice." This is the story today, that where the cross is, that is where God is. Which is to say that there is no need for sacrifice in the ways that we would expect. There is no more blood needed. There is no more of what once was. There is no more of thinking about a God who is dangling you over a fire, but a God who is on the cross for us. A new thing is happening. And if you were expecting a God, as you entered these doors, that is holding a report card, if you are expecting that kind of God, we are met with a God who is on a cross, on a tree, who knows you, who knows us, who goes to the cross to know us. And if you thought that God would sit on a high throne, God does sit on a high throne, and it is the cross lifted high for our sins, this humiliating death. What would this God, why would this God die? What would this God have with me, have with you, have with us? The author of Hebrews says, a true heart and full assurance of faith, a heart that is sprinkled clean. And it is clean, let me tell you, whether we are able to take communion on this day, and we are not, because of this Lord who has saved us by his cross. We, like that old hymn, cling to the cross. This cross by which we are saved, not from all, but from ourselves. We call this Friday because we are saved by the cross. We call it good because Christ on the cross is life, not death, because it means the life of the world. It means that we are not in the same situation that those crew members on the Endurance found themselves in. They had to get themselves out. No. The cross is our shovel, digging us out of our graves. It is the light on a foggy coast. It is bringing us close to home. It is the foundation of our faith, the grounding that we have in Christ, the knowledge that God on that cross has opened a new way, a living way, and has gone into our worst moments, into your worst moments. The hope of the resurrection is around the corner, but on this Friday, we call it Good Friday. In the words of T.S. Eliot, "The dripping blood our only drink, the bloody flesh our only food." In spite of which, we like to think that we are sound, substantial flesh and blood. We like to think that we do not need the bread, that we do not need the wine, that we can get ourselves out, that we are not in great need constantly. But on this day, when we don't have bread, when we don't have wine, when all we have is the cross, we are aware of the absence. We are aware that we do, in fact, need something to cling on to. We are aware that our bootstraps were never enough to pull ourselves up by. And this might have become clear to you already in your life, or someone that you know. When you hit rock bottom, when you're pouring out bottles in the morning in your kitchen sink, when you have missed the court date, when you have to say the words that you thought you would never have to say, and file the papers that you've never thought that you would have to file, when you have to be over that grave saying those words, what then are we clinging on to? What words are good then? We do need the cross. We need all of it. We need the splinters. We need the little pieces that are set in glass all across the cathedrals of Europe. We need the rough-hewn lumber. We need the crosses, all of the crosses that are around this church, and there are many to cling to. Christ is lifted high on this cross. Christ is lifted high on this cross that the whole world might know that God is for you, that God is not against you, that God is on your side. And God becomes one of us to know us. God went up on that cross for the life of the world, not for the death of the world. Not so that we would live in darkness, but that we might live in light. Not for us to shy away from God, but that we might come near to God, moth to flame. I point you to the end, that last paragraph of our Passion from John. Joseph of Arimathea and Nicodemus are at the foot of the cross, and they go to gather our Lord. Nicodemus, the name might sound a little familiar. He came to Jesus, this Pharisee, in the dead of night, earlier in the Gospel of John. He came to Jesus when it was dark. He did not want to be seen speaking to this man. Wanting to want to be made whole. That was Nicodemus. Wanting to want to find God. Wanting to want to believe in something more, something else. The barest of thoughts about getting better. And Jesus meets him. Not because of who Nicodemus is, not because of his pedigree, not because he knows the Torah, not for any reason other than because Jesus is God with us. Jesus is God with you. Jesus is God with y'all. And we find him. We do find him here in full daylight, not in the dark, bringing a kingly gift to Christ who is mocked as king, this Nicodemus, bringing the aloes, bringing the sweet smells, tenderly taking down his Christ and wrapping his body and laying it in the tomb. Ernest Shackleton is not remembered as a great explorer, but what he is remembered for, and what so many of his crew and the people that were around him remember him for in this terrible ordeal of coming back home, is his care for the crew. He is described as some of his crew members as a mother hen, maternal, caring for their wounds, making sure that each one made it back. And they did all make it back. Winning in death does not feel like a win. After reading John, it does not feel like this Friday should be called good, but it is Good Friday. And Good Friday tells us that what bounces around inside of us, that tells us that we need to shove others down to get to the top, that we need to be better at all costs, that we need to never need anyone else, this is what the cross releases us from. And it releases us not just from that, but it gives us a way out, a way home, a way to a God who loves us, who knows us, who has gone to the depths, not just of your life, but all of our lives. Our Lord, our friend, Christ, gives us this path to life in what he does on the cross. It is a Good Friday indeed.
Thanks for listening to the sermon podcast from St. Albans Episcopal Church in Waco, Texas. Find us online at stalbanswaco.org to learn more.